Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me?
What's wrong with you people?
I got nothing for you.
What's wrong with you?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church, and we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the captain, Jack Barry. Jack, my friend, it is good to see you.
Yes.
As always, and how was your Lord's Day, my man? Did you guys actually meet?
Yes, we did.
Oh,
yes,
look
we
at
met.
You.
Gosh.
Look did at you.
Meet? Did we meet? This man insults me over it's, here.
Yeah, you know.
On an episode we're about to go full in.
You know.
All in on.
Gotta prime the pump a little bit.
You do.
Gotta
no,
prime
we, so every last Lord's Day of the year,
mm-hmm.
we have something that's called Biography Sunday,
mm-hmm.
where we go over the life of somebody through church history.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. And so this Sunday was on Martin Bucer.
That's not a name you hear often. You're going deep cuts, like church history deep cuts.
Well, we basically had a visiting guest. I wouldn't call it a preaching. I would call it more of a time of maybe teaching and emphasizing.
Okay.
So it's kind of a mixed bag how you want to do it. I mean, mm-hmm. we've had ways in which people have preached about a person's life. So last mm-hmm. year was Charles Spurgeon.
Yes, I remember that.
So yeah. we've had that situation happen before. But this one was kind of interesting because I felt like he went a little bit, and this guy has like an education background. So he founded okay. a evangelical kind of Presbyterian high school in Tacoma. And so mm-hmm. he has that kind of more educator background.
Sure.
So it had more of an informational kind of vibe to it, more than a typical kind of preaching.
Sure.
But it was really good. Martin Bucer, man, what a guy. That guy, he is severely underrated
yeah.
as far as reformers go.
Yeah.
And on top of it, the dude tried so hard to get everybody together in unison during the Protestant Reformation. And he just was trying to get people together, and they were just not having it.
No, not playing well with others.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he was trying to bring Zwingli and Luther together
sure.
on the view of communion, and Luther right. just would not shake Zwingli's hand at all.
No, Luther didn't play well with others.
Yeah.
At all. Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is yeah. not a strong suit for Luther right there. So,
no, but, it's not. It's not.
But Martin Bucer, no. man, when Calvin actually was having troubles in Geneva,
mm-hmm.
Bucer actually took him under his wing and said, man, you have got to learn how to have some patience and grace
sure.
with people. And yeah. actually, that time of Bucer really kind of mentoring Calvin actually helped him in kind of Geneva part two, when he came back to Geneva, when he was kicked out the first time, he came back
That's
again
right.
and he was way more of a seasoned disciplined minister because of Martin Bucer. So guy was severely underrated, highly incredible life, highly incredible guy. Hope to meet him one day in heaven and maybe have a Strasbourg beer with him because he was there in Strasbourg for a long time. So we'll see.
There it is. There it is. Yeah. My Lord's Day was good as well. I preached Isaiah chapter 9. Our Advent series has been bumped, shifted a week because of the flooding, right? Yeah. So this sermon was supposed to be the sermon right before Christmas, ended up being the sermon right after Christmas, which actually ended up working out even better, I think. I think it's just a good passage to be hit with after kind of the holiday highs have come down and some of that depression sits in, it's good to be reminded of the truths there in Isaiah chapter 9. But good stuff, Jack, as always. We've got important fun stuff to talk about today, man. We're asking for all the smoke today, especially with the nuance police on Twitter. We'll get into that. But my friend, it is before we hop in, it's time for everyone's favorite segment. Don't forget to eat your Instagrams.
And now's the time you've all been waiting for. The Reformatory Podcast presents Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams with your hosts, Josh Loftus and Jack Berry. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough.
This is Don't Forget to Eat Your Instagrams. And remember, kids, it's not heresy if you believe it hard enough. That's how it works these days, my friend, in the American church. And Jack, my friend, I've got a couple fun ones for you today.
Oh,
this first one's just unfortunate. It's just an unfortunate video. This is what happens when, puberty decides to hit you right in the middle of your worship set. It's a rough listen. It's a rough listen. All right, it's rough here. So let's hop into this one. Okay, so
for hit himself.
Yeah, for our audio only listeners, I mean, not much to explain. It's obviously a very large church, a very large stage, lights, like everything you'd expect, and this music comes to a crescending dramatic stop, and this dude's job is supposed to hit this note. This trill. He's supposed to hit this very emotional, anthemic, emphasizing stanza in the verse, and my guy decides now it's time to be a man. It's now time for me to emerge from my cocoon. I'm no longer the caterpillar. I am a butterfly. And he hits this. And like, you see the girl behind him. Dude, that's the best part. The girl behind him, if you watch she's just like, she loses it. She's like, dude, you had one job and you did not show up to work.
Oh,
look at her. Oh. I'm sorry, my guy. That one's on you. Can't help you out with that one. Oh my goodness, that sucks. That's unfortunate, Jack. I don't even know how to prepare you for this one. I'm just gonna show it to you. Okay. And I'm gonna let you see it, and I'll explain to our audio only listeners what we're looking at here. So
what was happening?
We have got
this clip.
We've got this pastor, and I'm going to use that term loosely.
Yeah.
Dressed up in a very, so you know when you get your kids superhero like pajamas?
Yep.
Right? And they're always too big, like they're flopping around, right? They come down, the arms are too long, the feet stick out, right? Their feet go where the ankles are supposed to be. It's sagging like around, all the that's what this guy is dressed up in. It's a superhero. It's a Superman costume. He's dressed up in a Superman costume that is extremely ill-fitting. If that wasn't enough, this guy is hooked up to a rig.
In a church.
Yeah, obviously, yes, in a church. Hooked to the ceiling, and he is swinging back and forth. He's being propelled by these guys that are on stage with him, pushing him back and forth in this arc. And he's throwing candy to the crowd. As he's swinging by. And I gotta say, if you watch this video, that harness is riding up him something fierce,
yeah.
Dude.
Oh, yeah, it is. Yep,
it is not a flattering look for this guy.
No, it's not.
So, you know what, guys? Long story short, you know, the church has got to stop with the shenanigans. They got to stop with the weird stuff, Jack. They got to stop with the Superman costumes, getting hooked onto a flying harness and throwing candy to people. You don't need it. You don't need it. All right. And I know you can call me the village grump. You can call me the Baptist, you know, the old man, right? You can say I'm the Statler and Waldorf up in the Muppet Show, right? But when it comes to the church, right? When it comes to the local church, there are some things that we got to take seriously, mm-hmm. right? And anyone who listens to this podcast, right? And if you guys aren't aware, this is the segue. This is the segue into the topic, right? You guys know us. You know Jack and I, right? You know the podcast. You know the flavor here. We love making fun of ourselves. We love making fun of other things. We do not take ourselves seriously at all, right? In fact, some of our flippant takes have gotten us, and I won't say in trouble, but have gotten us some heat in the past just because we're like, yeah, you know, it's a big deal for you. As I don't really feel like it's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
But there are some things that we do have to take seriously, right? Something I loved about old Doc and Devo is they don't take themselves seriously at all, but they take the things of God very seriously.
Yeah.
And we have to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Right. And we have to be able to do that without being called judgmental or fundamentalists.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
As we'll get into later. But obviously, we poke fun at the things that happen in the Instagrams and things like that. Right. But they do showcase an issue that mm-hmm. is part of the American church. Right. And it's something that we're going to talk about today. So, a growing trend that Jack and I have seen over the years and that we are talking about today is this trend among primarily American churches to cancel the service, cancel the Lord's Day services on the last day of the year.
Yeah.
So usually the Sunday right after Christmas and before the new year steps in. Many, many churches will utilize that Sunday they call it, and with the ironic thing is that they will call it Sabbath Sunday, in which they cancel services for the purpose of rest.
Yeah.
Right. So we're going to talk about that today because I think, you know, it's one of those issues that's on the surface. I think a lot of people, I mean, I know a lot of people because I got hit with it a whole lot online, is the kind of, why do you care what other churches are doing? Mind your own business. It's not that big of a deal. And I get it. Right. I think it is a big deal. And I'm going to talk about why. So, Jack, obviously, a lot of the I think we're going to today try to talk about why this Sabbath Sunday is a thing, why we believe that they shouldn't do it, and then maybe some solutions to this problem, you know, using air quotes here, this problem that I think these local churches are trying to answer by canceling services. So, I don't know about you, Jack, but I hear three primary reasons that these churches will give for canceling the services on the last Sunday of the year. And they are as follows. And I wrote them down here. They are pastoral burnout, mm-hmm. right? Rest for the staff and for the volunteers, right? All the people that are serving on a Sunday, give them a Sunday off, right? So they can be with their families. And then an opportunity to allow the families to enjoy the holidays together without having, you know, to worry about church scheduling or, you know, coming to service and things like that. Initial thoughts on those, Jack?
Oh, my gosh. Where to begin? I'll just say this. Mm-hmm. As a man who was probably been, who was single for 14 years of his adult life, mm-hmm. I have heard all of those things around Christmas and Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
And I felt so, how do I say this, ostracized. Mm. I think one podcaster, I shared a clip with Josh, a different podcast where a gal was talking about this. And she said, you know, hot take, you should have church on holidays. Yeah. Because your primary, if you are saying to people in your local church, you need to go worship and be with your family during the holidays. Mm-hmm. The problem with that remark is that your church is your primary community, what this gal was saying, and your primary family of who Jesus made you into mm-hmm. and grafted you into. So right. Why are we doing this double standard and dancing around this thing? Which, here's the thing. Everybody's going to dance a different way to when it happens, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, hey, you know, you could do it in a way where, you know, a church says, hey, you know, we're just not going to have church. You know, the elders and I talked about this, or if you have a lead pastor, or if you have elder-led church, hey, you know, elders, we talked, we're just not going to have a service. We will have a service on the Lord's Day and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can make that, but please do not drag this whole argument of, well, you need to, we're just not going to have church because you should be with your family to do that. No, you're my family. Why aren't we doing this?
Yeah.
You know, I think I automatically go to that. If I'm part of the family of God and I'm part of this community called the local church that I'm a part of, and you're using that argument to say, go be with your family. The nearest family for me is two plus hours away.
Yeah.
So you're saying that I can't be with my brothers and sisters in Christ because you're dictating that you just want a day off. I feel like a lot of these comments that we're getting are mm-hmm. completely around production and yeah. not around specific family issues in the local church. They're around the local church has made the Lord's Day a production, and thus the production staff need a day off, and it's looking more like the secular world instead of the family of God. Those are my initial thoughts on this.
Yeah. And harsh words, but 100% true.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of my, because here's the thing. I put up on social media, right? Basically something akin to that, like, healthy church. I think I said healthy churches don't cancel their service for rest, right?
Yeah.
So many of the responses, like the vast majority of the responses, are, pushback's too light a word for that, right? And I think I see a lot of things online, a lot of, you know, the nuance police. And again, we're for nuance. I think if, sure. you know, again, it's not a prideful thing, but I think we are among the Reformatory, probably one of the most nuanced podcasts that are out there, especially in the Reformed Baptist field.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
you survey the land, there's not a whole lot of nuance going on these days. Okay.
Yeah.
I think we do pretty good at that. Okay. But you start messing with the Lord's Day, you start yeah. messing with the local church, you know, nuance starts to have a limit. Right. And I think yeah. we start here. I mean, I know we did a lot of people saying, you know, why do you care, right? You know, what do you care about what other churches do? just focus on your own church. Why are you making this such a big deal, right? And I would say this, because by and large, the American church is ecclesiastically illiterate. They don't know what a good, healthy church is or what a healthy church does. And their practice shows that. And they talk about, you know, wanting grace and not judging one another people, but they have zero clue how a local church is supposed to function or how it's supposed to work, because it's not just a conscience issue here, right? This isn't, should we use a full band or sing a cappella, right? This isn't something that you can, you know, take each specific local church can make the decision for themselves. This is an issue that speaks to one of the greatest issues that the American church has today. And if you're going to say that you care about the purity of the local church, right? And wanting the local church to be healthy, wanting it to be biblical. If you're going to, on one hand, you know, attack the local church or, critique the local church for getting distracted by things like Christian nationalism, right? Political involvement, right? All of the Israel stuff. Like, if you're going to critique that, you have to be consistent and understand that the American ecclesiology today is garbage. And what it's resulted in is that we've made the gathering of the local church, the gathering of the saints on the Lord's Day, optional and preferential. And it's neither of those things. And this whole, let's cancel church on the Lord's Day, this last Sunday, right? The reasonings given on the surface seem very quaint and very, like, I would say very, very, you know, like,
their Hallmark
heartfelt.
Card. Their Hallmark
right. Yeah. Card like, focused, like,
you
know? The intentionality is there, right? It seems very, very, I'm blanking on the word, but very innocent. But what it is you not understanding, like, what the local church is, what it's for, who it's for, and how it's supposed to work. And if that makes us a legalist, and that makes us non-nuanced, and that makes us judgmental, you know what? At a certain point, you got to stand for something or you'll stand for nothing.
Yeah.
And I don't have, like, anything that I can think of that is, you know, that's one of the most important hills to die on is that of the local church.
Yeah.
And you can wrap it up in, you know, wanting it to be very, very nice and clean all you want. But that's why I care, is because this is an outflow of a problem that's in the American church that other people, they're fine calling out. But when it comes to canceling the church on the Lord's Day, well, now we're judgmental, right? Yeah. It's the fruit of the same problem. Mm-hmm. It's just on a different branch.
Yeah, I think the issue too is, dude, this is the equivalent of a corporate pizza party. This is the
yeah, it does feel like that. Yeah, it's like, we'll give you one Sunday off.
Yeah, yeah, seriously, this is the most. This is the worst. I have seen all of the different, I don't even know if I want to say opinions or even like statements about why you're canceling church on the Lord's Day. I've heard of attendance. I've heard of not having enough volunteers and not having and wanting, like we said, to be with their families. Mm-hmm. Okay. If your sole focus as a local church is attendance and volunteers, you have problems.
Yep.
You have problems right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means that you're linking attendance to some sort of quantity of success,
mm-hmm.
or some sort of value. Volunteers it's starting to be more like a consumer. Oh, well, we don't have enough volunteers. That's usually mm-hmm. what I hear of when it has to do with some sort of consumerism. Or we don't have enough people to do this, or we don't have this, or we don't have that. It's like,
right.
Well, why do you feel like you need certain people on that day when mm-hmm. you can just simply make this like a very stripped down service. Actually, we started to do this year where if there is a fifth week of the month, we will actually take out a lot of the children's ministry and just say, hey, kids, you're going to be sitting in with your parents in the service, and we're only going to have nursery, and that's it.
Yeah.
So we started to do this as well, too, where you can do this in a way where you can have a Lord's Day service and just strip down things and give that rest to your people to sit in and get ministered to by the word.
Yeah.
And yet still be in really, I would say, good standing. Like, this isn't rocket science, guys, but people will make it rocket science because they're trying to, like I said, the American church in the United States today is primarily focused on making the Lord's Day a mockery, and they'll make it a mockery by making it a production, not a worship service. They'll make it a rock service in order to get more seats, more butts in the pews, or more butts in the seats, and more people to volunteer, and to get more money, and to get more power around their little fiefdom. Because that's the way the game is played in America, unfortunately, in the local church, by and far.
Yeah.
So if you want to go against that and you want to be biblical, hey, why don't we look at ways in which we actually serve our local people and disciple them and build them up instead of them coming to us when they have problems, you go to them.
Right. Yeah, well, because what happens, right, is when you create like this extra biblical understanding or standard, right, that these local churches are adhering to, that we are going to go outside, obviously, of the regulative principle for sure. I would say just outside of scripture, bounds of scripture itself, and start defining for ourselves what we can do on the Lord's Day and what we can't do on the Lord's Day. Right. Again, no matter what motives you want to put there, rest, give time for families to be together, pastoral burnout, whatever motives you want to attach to that, it's still the same thing. You are still defining for yourself what the Lord's Day looks like, and we're not allowed to do that. Yeah. Right. So what ends up happening is, one, you go, and you already mentioned this, you go completely against the understanding that the Lord's Day is our rest. You don't need rest from rest, okay? And if you're viewing the Lord's Day primarily as the place that you volunteer or that you work, you have a lack of understanding on what the Lord's Day is for.
Yeah.
All right? It'd be better for you to back out of that position completely until you can come to a biblical understanding of what it's for, and then maybe reintegrate back in, okay? Yeah. It sets a bad precedent for the church that the Lord's Day is not rest, that we're not there to rest, to receive the means of grace, that we need, that rest is somehow separate from the church, separate from the people of God, separate from the means of grace, separate from the Lord. Okay? It's a bad precedent to set. And whether you are intentionally doing that or not, and I don't think churches are, but unintentionally, what you are doing is you're setting, you're giving two definitions, you're drawing a thick line between what rest actually looks like in the Lord versus, okay, now we're going to go get real rest.
Yeah.
Right? That's where do we get that? We don't get that anywhere, right? The last thing before we kind of get into solutions, you mentioned it. Statistically, depression, the depression rates and the depression stats are highest at the holidays.
Yeah.
So now what you're doing, again, make a practice around a demographic of people, but this is a consequence of this action that we're doing. You're depriving people of perhaps the only family that they have during the holidays.
Yeah.
In the greatest time of depression that our country sees.
Yep. Yep.
The Lord's Day is for the people of God to gather together with one purpose, to worship and praise the Lord. And through that, we are comforted, we are convicted, and rest is given to God's people. And no matter how you want to wrap that up, you removing that or thinking that you have the authority to do so is exactly what is wrong with the American church today.
Yeah.
Is that we think we have the right to define for ourselves what worship to the Lord looks like. And we bastardize it and wrap it up in a nice present and then call out other people for being judgmental when they say, hey, actually, we probably shouldn't do this. Like, you have to have a standard for something.
Yeah.
You got to stand on something. And if it's not the Lord's Day, if it's not providing the means of grace for people on the Lord's Day, what do you have to stand on, man?
Yeah.
So true. You know what I'm saying? And it's shocking to me how fast people will bend that. And I honestly think, Jack, it's because we have so much more of this Americanized understanding infecting our minds than we think we do.
Yeah.
And the same people that will rant against Christian nationalism and churches embracing that, right? The same people that will rant about, you know, churches embracing woke ideology, right? Again, all things that are happening in the church and worth talking about, worth calling out. They will go against people who say, well, you know, let's not be too judgmental around the churches that want to cancel the entire Lord's Day. Make it make sense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, good gracious, right?
And yeah, I like I said, I think a lot of this, it has to do primarily with just really poor planning.
Sure.
It's really poor planning.
Let's get into some solutions here. Let's get into some solutions here. Yeah.
I think it's really comes down to really poor planning. Not only really poor planning, but just not. I mean, all of these cues that I feel like you and I have gone over time and time again are a playbook out of corporate America and just tried to repackage it in a local church setting, right?
Sure.
But the problem is like, hey, pastors, you can make decisions that actually help people, you know, newsflash. That can actually happen
without canceling the Lord's Day.
Without actually forsaking the gathering of the saints.
Because here's the thing, and I can hear the accusation. Like, Jack and I are not against staff getting rest. Yeah. We're not against your volunteers having a day off.
Yeah.
We're not against your pastors having a day where they don't have to preach. We're not against your nursery volunteers having a Sunday where they can, you know, not have to worry about changing diapers. We're pro that. Go for it. That sounds fantastic. Don't sacrifice the entire Lord's Day to accomplish that. I think that shows a lack of forward thinking, a lack of ingenuity, and just a base level of like creative problem solving. Right? I think it's the laziest solution to that issue that you have. And you're 100% right. Let's just have some planning, right? Looking forward, if you know you want to do this for your volunteers on the last Sunday, that's awesome. Like, that, praise the Lord for that. That's really cool. So how do we do that effectively without canceling the entire Lord's Day for the rest of the people, right?
Yeah, and I think you can – I mean, there's been podcasters that have said this before. It's like, strip down your service.
Yep. Solution one. Have a toned down service, right?
Yeah. So you could do hymns. You could do pastoral prayer, maybe. You could do a shorter sermon and then go straight into like the Lord's Day or the communion table. And then
tell your families, hey, we're not doing nursery. There's no children's services, right? Or childcare. Right. We're not going to have all the bells and whistles that our local church normally does, but we're still going to gather because we want to give time for our volunteers to rest. We appreciate and love them, but they're not necessary for the regular means of grace, the ordinary
and I
means
will
of
say,
grace.
When we started to do the fifth Sunday of the month, when we have five Sundays in a month, when I just even witnessed it this last Lord's Day. Guys, it was not the end of the world.
No, guess what?
It was not the
church
end of the world.
Church still happens.
To have kids sitting in the service.
Yeah.
And for it to be a little bit drier than usual, maybe. Some people would say that. But still,
sure. Yeah.
Like, kids were fine. Everybody was fine. There was no freakouts.
Yeah.
Everybody got through it.
It's like, you don't have childcare or coffee. Okay. The saints are still there.
Yeah.
The Lord is still there. We still hear the word preached. We still take the Lord's Supper.
Yeah.
We still sing songs. It doesn't have to be this big production.
Yeah.
But I think, like Jack's saying, like it's this understanding that, you know, the Lord's Day needs to have, if Sunday doesn't have all these things, yeah. Why even meet?
Yeah.
You know, why even meet? And it's not a good solution.
Yeah, I think that's just consumerism. I think people get suckered into a consumeristic, I drop my kids off, I go be with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no. This is not how this works.
No.
So, yeah, I think that you can strip down your service, or better yet, how about you plant a church?
So that's my final, you skipped two and went to the last one, but yeah, let's skip to the last one right now. And then we can go back. We wouldn't have this problem.
Oh yeah.
If we didn't have this like incessant need in America to have massive churches.
Yeah.
Guess what? Small churches don't have this problem.
Yeah.
Right. It was a regular Sunday on the block for our church this mm-hmm. Lord's Day. Same for yours.
Yep.
Right. The churches that have these issues are the massive churches, right? And again, massive to me is like over 200. So let's be very clear, right? It doesn't have to be like thousands and thousands of people, right? But the bigger a church gets, by and large, the harder it is to stay biblical. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of across the board true. It's not true in every case, of course. But by and large, in America, the larger a church becomes, the harder it is for it to remain a biblical local church, because things get more difficult the larger and the more people you bring in, right? And this is a consequence of, I think, a bad ecclesiology in America that sees large churches as the definition of a successful church.
Yeah. To quote the urban theologian Biggie, "Mo money, mo problems." Okay,
Biggie.
So I think it's
pillar
honestly
of theological.
I think it's just that. I think you have more money, and you're gonna have more problems.
Yeah.
You bring in more people, and here's the thing: more and more pastors today are trying to look at themselves as the CEOs of their church, and they want more money. That temptation and that sin will drive them to have more problems, and then thus create this instance where they sin and do these things like cancel Lord's Day service because of attendance or because of these ridiculous other statements of being, you know, go worship with your family. Mm-hmm. Those statements to me, when I heard those things as a young single man, were the most ostracizing things I could ever hear in my life coming
right,
from
because you're standing there,
people group.
Yeah, because you're there
said
like
that they were my family.
Like what family?
Yeah.
I thought you were my family.
Exactly.
And now you're closing the doors.
It's
like
ridiculous.
It doesn't make sense. Like I feel like I'm taking crazy pills sometimes, man. Like let's think about this for 1 second. The one that gets me too, and it's such an easy solution. It's such an easy solution, especially for these churches that have money coming out the wazoo.
Yeah.
Right? How about just have a separate team whose job it is to serve on the last Sunday of the year?
Yeah.
Right? And I'm coming from a set, like, I have been in the position of having to put teams together. I was a children's and family pastor for a good sized church. I understand what it's like to get volunteers and have to source those. You have an entire year to put a team together so that you can give those regular volunteers a break. Again, not against that. That's a great idea. That's what a way to show that you love and appreciate those that are constantly serving, right? You want to give them a break? Fantastic. Don't cancel service. Find other people in the local church that you can bring into that to serve their people, right? What about going to the congregation? And again, this is where the like we are illiterate when it comes to ecclesiology in America is that we have such a consumeristic understanding of what the local church is supposed to be. This is part of the reason I'm a Reformed Baptist, is because it puts an onus on the congregation to actually do something and have some responsibility within the body.
Yeah.
Right? Because by and large, so many of these churches that are canceling, they have the people that serve on staff and their volunteers, and the rest of the congregation sits there like bumps on a log, intaking nothing and giving, or excuse me, intaking everything and giving nothing.
Yeah.
That is the vast majority of churches in America. Yeah. And that's part of the problem, is that this canceling of the Lord's Day just comes out of this consumeristic understanding of what the Lord's Day is. How about go to your congregation, get them involved, heaven forbid have a biblical membership.
Yeah.
And your this problem that you're trying to solve all like automatically becomes so much easier to take care of because the body is serving the body the way it's supposed to go. And Jack, it seems like we're just caught up in the trend. We're caught up in this is just what you do. And there's so many solutions that could just that could easily be taken care of, right? The last one, I want to focus specifically on pastoral burnout, because that's one of the ones that you hear the most.
Yeah.
When trying to justify, you know, why are we canceling services? Well, pastoral burnout, right? And again, it sounds very like moralistic, you know, at the forefront. But let me direct you to our confession, chapter 26, paragraph 11, when it says, although it be incumbent on the bishops or pastors of the churches to be instant in preaching the word by the way of the office, yet the work of preaching the word is not so confined to them, but that others also gifted and fitted by the Holy Spirit for it and approved and called by the church may and ought to perform it. In other words, if your pastor is burned out, if your pastor is burned out, one Sunday off is not going to do jack squat. I can just tell you from experience, right? If pastoral burnout is the reason you're giving him one day off, it's not going to do jack, right? But this is why we believe in a plurality of elders. This is why we believe in bringing up faithful men in your congregation to train and teach in leading the congregation in the word of God, right? We have just this mindset in America that it's just like it's the main pastor. Like he's the CEO. He does the preaching. And we got to get out of that, man. You have other men that can teach.
Yeah.
You have other men that should teach. If pastoral burnout is the reason that you're canceling the Lord's Day, like bring someone in, call someone up, right? It's not that hard of a solution. And if your pastor is burned out, give him more than a day off, like put him on sabbatical for crying out loud.
Yeah,
right?
Seriously.
But I don't know, Jack, I just feel like all of, like these solutions, there's so many good solutions and easy solutions that you can put into small churches or big churches, right? You just got to scale it. But hardly any are being considered, and we're just opting to the laziest and I would say the most unbiblical solution to wanting to give people a break, and that's remove the means of grace from the people of God on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
And I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. I think it's just honestly, like I said, it's the laziest option available, and it's the easiest option available, so people are going to take it.
Yeah.
So people think like that's the solution. I don't get it. I feel like you know, like I said, like if you value your single people and your widows and people who do not have families, like I think you guys need to go back to the drawing board and go back and get a biblical and theologically rich view of what the local church is. yeah. before you guys start making, before churches start making these statements like, well, you can go worship with your family. It's like, no,
right.
guy, I am your family and you're yeah. not helping this.
yeah, exactly. I mean, next we'll be taking communion at home. You know, and that's, I mean, we already
been through that gamut.
We were all, dude, I mean, at what point does it stop? You know? So anyway, I understand. And here's the thing. I want to be very clear about this. If you're still listening to this, right. You know, us, you know, Jack and I, you know, the podcast, we're not the hard and gritty grumpy Baptists, right? We like to laugh. We like to joke, but we got to take some things seriously. And like we said at the top of the ep, you start messing with the Lord's Day, we're going to have a problem. And we have to be able to stand on something and basically, you know, just say like, no, that's stupid. That's stupid. That's yeah. what are we doing? Like yeah. this is amateur hour, right? We don't do this. And we can still, again, give credence to wanting to give volunteers a break or wanting to give your pastors a break. Oh, that's awesome. That's great. We support that. But don't remove the means of grace from the people of God on the Lord's Day in trying to give the people what they need on the Lord's Day, and that's rest. The Lord is your rest.
Yeah.
The Lord's Day is your rest, right? So yeah, and I think in that there is nuance, right? But you can't do that. You can't do that. And there are some things that are going to get Jack and I to plant our feet a little bit and get a little grumpy, and the Baptists got to come out a little bit because this is dumb. I'll just say it. It's dumb. This is American yeah. junk.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like canceling church because you want people to rest and you call it Sabbath Sunday because like, what are yeah, we doing?
That's insulting so, right there.
Like, yeah, you done did it. You done got us riled up, but you know, it doesn't happen often, but I think every once in a while it does have to happen. And this is one of those instances. So Jack, any last words to add some icing to this, or do we just let this cake go in the oven and cook?
Yeah, we'll let it go in there and bake and see what happens. I'm sure people are going to have their hot takes against us. And okay,
that's okay. That's fine. They have their
opinions.
We're edgy, you know. Yeah. Like if Pat Abendroth is listening to this, he's licking his chops, whether he agrees or not. He's like, oh, these guys. This is why I like it. Is this edgy enough for you? Is it yeah, edgy enough? He's also going to make fun of me for not being able to pronounce that word in paragraph 11. I am sorry. I am not a smart man. It trips me up every single time. You know how when you like you have those phrases or things like that, you know, like I'm yeah. not going to be able or names in the Bible yeah. and it just pops up. This word for me, every time I read this, and this is not the first time. Every time I read paragraph 11 in chapter 26, I'm dreading hitting this word right in the smack middle. And each time I enter into that paragraph with such confidence, thinking today's the day, I'm going to nail it today. I never do. Peculiarity. I can't, my brain won't do it. So
peculiarity.
Yeah. Yeah. Peculiarity. Is that it? Is that how you say it? Peculiarity.
Peculiarity.
Yeah, every time. Every time. Yeah, chapter 11 is the bane of my existence in the confession. Chapter 26, paragraph 11. So it is what it is. But Jack, my friend, I know we're particular, so that's good. And why don't you particularly get us out of here?
Yeah, if you appreciate Josh and I's viewpoint of not trying to cancel the Lord's Day service and making the local church,
ain't nobody gonna appreciate this
to the believer's life, and you want to support us in our endeavors to make the local church central to the believer's life, you too can follow us further and maybe give us feedback. And I'm sure we'll get feedback on this episode on the socials, the Facebook, if you will, the Metaverse, the Instagram. Mm-hmm. As well with chocolate and marshmallow and maybe a little heresy sprinkled on top. And then the always interesting and peculiar sociable, formerly known as Twitter X. You can find us at all those socials at the tag at Reformatory Pod. Josh, you could tell the lovely people how they support us further in our endeavors.
Well, there are multiple ways you can do that. You can head on over to YouTube and subscribe to the channel. The Instagrams are a lot more fun when you can see them as opposed to just listening to them. You can like this podcast and rate this podcast on Apple and Spotify after this app. I don't know if that's going to happen. But hey, you know, if you like the cut of our jib and you want to, you know, you want to add some sugar to the spice, give us some 5 stars. We really appreciate that. Last but not least, there is a Patreon, and Patreon is where we say what we really feel. And I will, there's probably going to be an extension of this app, I have a feeling, going on over into Patreon, because I don't feel like we got all of the all the venom out. I think it's going to extend over there a little bit. But if you choose to do that, we'd really appreciate it. It's only $5 a month. It's super cheap. We keep it cheap. It'll never be raised unless Patreon raises it for some reason, but not going to be raised by us. For a $5 holla, all of that and more could be yours. And if you choose to do so, we pledge that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank you all for listening. Peculiarly. No. And we'll catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.